Welcome to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Over the next hour, you'll be introduced to business and local leaders impacting our community. Text your comments or questions directly to the studio in real time via ZipWhip landline texting at 540-371-5756 or comment on Facebook at WFVA 1230. Now, the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
This weekend, it's the 154th anniversary of the Battle of Fredericksburg from the Fredericksburg and Spotsylvania National Military Park. John Hennessy with us this morning. Welcome back, John. It's been a long time since you've been in the guest chair.
Ted, it's great to be here. It's an important day to be here because you're particularly depressed this morning because the Penguins beat the Red Wings the other night in rather glorious fashion.
Yeah, that was. I was hoping that wouldn't be the case.
And I am the best qualified person on earth to be here to cheer you up after something like that.
Thank you. Well, it is great to have you here. It has been so long that you've been here, in fact, that someone had asked me a month or so ago if we'd had a falling out. And I said, no, just schedules and things going on had kind of had affected that. But welcome back, because this 154, but it doesn't seem like it's been 4 years since the really big commemoration of the Battle of Fredericksburg took place.
Well, we're still recovering in a fashion. I mean, you know, our park did
that was the start.
Multiple major commemorations or remembrance events during the 150th, and it was exhilarating and exhausting both, but. No, we always look forward to the anniversary every year. It's a chance for us to kind of stretch our legs and do some things we don't normally get a chance to do, some programming there we don't normally get a chance to do. And so we all enjoy it very much so. And this year, I think we've got some kind of cool stuff going on.
As we're going to get into what the schedule looks like. Yeah, it's a little bit different, or some different kind of programs than we've seen around here lately.
You know, of course, the anchor of the whole thing is always the program at the Sunken Road in front of the Richard Kirkland Memorial, which is kind of the remembrance moment, if you will, the commemorative moment that happens on Sunday afternoon. But we always try to build a lot of programming around that as well and give people choices on, you know, kind of the physical activity, the level that they want to engage in, or the stories they want to hear about. And so this year we're trying to do a variety of things that will give people those choices.
We'll get into the programs as we go along this morning. 154 years ago at this time, I guess you had troops gathering on both sides of the river, right, and kind of waiting for something to happen.
Well, the Union Army had arrived here in the middle of middle of November, and demanded the surrender of Fredericksburg. They didn't get it, but Lee indicated that he would not use the town for defensive purposes. And so the Federal Army concluded not to bombard the town or otherwise inflict any damage on it. But as the days and weeks passed and it became apparent that the Union Army was indeed going to try to cross at Fredericksburg, Lee had no choice but to defend the crossings at Fredericksburg. And that decision, the combination of the Union decision to cross and Lee's decision to defend that crossing, would lead to the darkest days in Fredericksburg's history, without question. The hardest days the town ever knew.
When you go over to Marie's Heights and look at where the Union Army stood and just the terrain there.
Yeah, The terrain of Fredericksburg is really quite different than almost any other battlefield, certainly in the east. Marie's Heights, which was the Confederate position, you know, the Sunken Road, the heights above it, there's no other place on any of the eastern battlefields where the Confederates, or the Yankees for that matter, had a place where they could kind of stack their infantry and artillery on top of each other, where the artillery's on the heights above, the infantry below. And so that made it a particularly daunting visual for the Yankees. You know, most Union soldiers, and remember at the time, you know, there were no houses really between Prince Edward Street and the Sunken Road. It was a wide open field, and there were very few trees in the region at that time. You know, I don't think most people realize that Virginia has way more trees today than it did in the heyday of agriculture in the mid-19th century. So the vistas were huge, and the Union soldiers sitting across the river, or once they crossed into town, on the edge of town, could see precisely what they were getting into. And not one of them was inspired by the sight. It was a daunting thing. And, you know, we kind of reflect on that. But for these young men, that reality, that landscape, they realized meant a higher likelihood of death for them. And so getting them to go, sometimes individual soldiers motivating themselves to go into that, really is one of the dramatic stories of Fredericksburg. And it always amazes me that they looked, they saw, and they went. They attempted. And they had faith that what they were being asked to do mattered and had a chance of success. And so they went. And they ran into something no Union Army really ever ran into, had ever run into before, and really ever since either. This was as one-sided a victory as there happened during the Civil War.
And over the years, as all of you have done programs on the Battle of Fredericksburg, what they wrote, what both sides, the writing that they wrote is just... It's so emotional, yeah. even from the Confederate side, seeing what was happening.
Well, Confederates recognizing what the Union Army was about to do. Now, of course, their own lives were at stake, and they were acutely aware of that. But they also understood the military calculus, and they recognized that the Union Army, at least on this north end of the battlefield, remember, there was a whole kind of separate battle on the south end mm-hmm. at Prospect Hill, which we'll also talk about on anniversary weekend. But on the north end of the field in front of Marie's Heights, those Confederate soldiers recognized what the Union soldiers were going into. And they watched with a sense of awe, partly because the panoramas were so spectacular. I mean, this was a battle where everything was visible. So they watched with awe, but they also watched with a sense of sadness even, as these Union soldiers, these battle lines consisting of individual soldiers, moved out into that field. But the real story of Fredericksburg isn't just the one-sided Confederate victory or Union defeat, but the many kind of sub-stories of Fredericksburg, the ordeal of the town, the looting of the town by the Union Army. These things didn't happen anyplace else or many other places during the war, and imprinted on Fredericksburg in a way that the town very vividly still remembers all these years later.
Yeah, you know, a lot of the buildings still have the scars, mm-hmm. and it's very unique. You mentioned Prospect Hill. We'll get into that when we come back, because that's where one of the programs are, and that's one of the key things that could have changed this whole story of what we're talking about, if something had happened, it was close to the Union was close to winning there.
Yeah, Frank O'Reilly, who really one of our most accomplished historians on staff, knows the Battle of Fredericksburg better than anyone on earth, and that is a literal statement. And in fact, he's probably miles beyond almost anybody else. He would term the fighting at Prospect Hill, the Battle of Fredericksburg, and the fighting in front of Marie's Heights, the slaughter of Fredericksburg. Because really it was at Prospect Hill that the battle was in the balance, that it was there was a chance there for Union victory. And in fact, the Union battle lines broke through the Confederate positions at Prospect Hill. So it's a very dramatic story, and he's going to be walking there on Saturday morning from, I think, 10 to 1, 11:30 or so. And, you know, if you've never done a battlefield walk, do one. But if you ever get a chance to do one with Frank O'Reilly, run to do it, because it really is an unparalleled opportunity. He's widely respected. He has a very distinctive style. And if you're not enthused about history, before you go out there, you will be when you're done with Frank.
It is the Battle of Fredericksburg being remembered this weekend. National Park Service has a lot of programs. We're going to get into all of those as we go along this morning. John Hennessy, the chief historian with the Fredericksburg and Spotsylvania National Military Park here. More coming up on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
Welcome back to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. You can weigh in on today's Town Talk topic on Facebook at WFVA 1230. Now, your host, Ted Schubel.
John Hennessy here with the Park Service. It's the Battle of Fredericksburg, the 154th anniversary this year. Will you do anything bigger next year for 155, or you wait till 160?
Yeah, I think you do zeros and fives and, you know, the probably, I suspect it'll be pretty, we won't do anything really special again until the 175th.
Okay.
And, I'll be
gone
by then. So I'm not really going to worry about it. But, you know, a couple of things are coming up in the way of anniversaries. Fredericksburg's, the town's anniversary, 300th anniversary is coming in about
that's
10
right.
years,
yeah.
11 years. So that's something for people to look forward to if you don't have to exactly put it on your schedule, on your calendar yet. But also we're approaching the 250th anniversary of the construction of Chatham. And we and the Friends of Chatham will develop some special programming for that. That's the construction started in 1768, so we'll in 2018 start building some things. So if you're really looking for milestone anniversaries, those are the three that we got for you. The 175th of Fredericksburg and the other battlefields, which is a little ways away. The 300th of Fredericksburg itself, the town, and 250th of Chatham.
For the person who just reads history and knows dates and things, one of the things that it's just fantastic to go on these walks and these tours that we're going to be talking about this morning, where you actually see things. It puts history in a whole different light. I felt that, I'll never forget it. The first day of the sesquicentennial, the very first program, Eric Mink did it across the river from where from Chatham. You couldn't see Chatham at that time right. because it wasn't cleared out like it is now. But it gave me. I thought I understood the whole Battle of Fredericksburg, and I realized that morning I don't know anything about this. And that's sometimes you look at these and think, I don't want to walk for 90 minutes around. But boy, you sure get a different perspective. And yeah. especially, and even whether it's just a program, a set aside program, or one especially that is on the day that something happened, really changes it.
Right. Well, you know, one of the things that we really emphasize in all of our program and all of our historians do is the humanity. I mean, these are not kind of textbook tactical sorts of programs that we do. They are very much focused on the people mm-hmm. who were there and kind of looking at the events from their perspective and sometimes very different perspectives. But I've always felt, I mean, and you don't need to understand necessarily the broad sweep of history to appreciate a program like this. I mean, the power of being able to stand in a specific place, understand what happened at that location, you know, X number of years ago, and to hear or understand the words of those who were there, that is a powerful experience. Better than a video, better mm-hmm. than a video game, and often kind of generates an emotional reaction in people that they will never forget in their lives. And I think I've often said to you, you know, kind of my measure of what we do is I have this theory that on the day we die, of course, I don't really know this, but on the day we die and, you know, your life passes before your eyes, when you think about it, most days you can't remember what you did. And when we die, you know, maybe 400 things, days will pass by our eyes that we actually remember. Mm-hmm. And so our goal when we go to do these programs is to create a moment, a day, an event that will get on that list for people, that they'll remember the rest of their lives and will have an effect on them. And that really is kind of the way that certainly I go at these things and try to create something memorable. You know, you mentioned being on the riverfront. I'm going to do a program Sunday morning. It'll be a little chilly. It's real time. It is when the pontoon bridges were being laid, when the bombardment of Fredericksburg was happening. And we're going to do a program that, actually a couple of little walks, one that goes down to the pontoon crossing itself, Now that it's clear, we can get down there, and it really is a powerful thing to stand precisely where those bridges were built across the river. Most people never get down there. In fact, until a couple of years ago, we had never taken people down there, but now we can. And we're going to be doing it at exactly the moment in time, and probably very much in terms of weather, very much the weather that they confronted at the time. It's going to be cold, apparently, this weekend. I think the highs are going to be in the 40s, which is about what it was on December 11th, 1862. It was much colder overnight. Those men awoke to an inch of ice on the river. We haven't seen that in a while around here, and I don't expect we're going to see that this weekend. But so those sorts of little details that your mind's eye can conjure, I think, really help imprint these events on your mind, these places, this experience.
You know, I've been over there where it is. You look across and the city just seems so close.
Yeah.
And the river back then was wider.
No, I mean that part of the river was about the same. It's a little bit more silted in now than it was at that time. Now farther down, below the railroad bridge, the river has been channelized. Since the war, in fact, in the years right after the war. So it's a little bit narrower down there where George Washington threw his silver dollar across it. We can have an easier time doing that than he did. But farther upriver where the Upper Pontoon Crossing site is, and we're going to go at it from the Chatham side as well as another program that will start on the other side, the river there is probably about what it was historically at the time.
It is the Battle of Fredericksburg. All of these events, they're on your website.
On our website.
Facebook page, too, has details.
That's right. Social media has become the way for us to communicate our events, and it really does work. And, you know, one thing we were talking about the other day, we do live in a new world. While we always assiduously count visitors who come to the park, who come to our programs, we're also in a world now where our programs can be experienced in a fashion distantly.
Mm-hmm.
And so we often live stream things. We will tweet things. We will do things like that. And I was amazed during the 150th how many, literally thousands of people engaged these programs from a distance. And not only that, but it meant something to them to be able to participate or at least bear witness to what was going on. So that's become an important part of what we do. But at the same time, there's no substitute for being there. It's a good substitute if you're in California and can't be there. But if you're here, try to at least do one of these programs over the weekend.
Well, and people who travel distances sometimes just put me to shame. Effort that they come to come here, and they're just thrilled to be here. And I can walk around the office and mention Prospect Hill, and I don't think there'd be one person who could tell me where it is. And if I said, you keep going down, Lee Drive, it'd be, well, how far does it, where?
2 miles, yeah, right.
And so there are people that really do put out an effort and this is something they always remember.
Well, and I'm always impressed by the effort people make to get to these events and programs at the time, mm-hmm. 150 or 154 years, that kind of proximity of time and place means something to people. And, we've had programs where people drove 10 hours. I think I've told you the story of the moonwalk that we did at Chancellorsville back in 1996, where someone had calculated that the phase of the moon and the location of the stars in the sky on May 2nd, 1996 would be exactly what they were on May 2nd, 1863, the night that Stonewall Jackson was mortally wounded. And we said, okay, well, that's a little bit cool. So we'll just do a little thing out there and let people be out there if they want to be. And we did a little publicity, not a lot. That was really the age of, before social media.
Mm-hmm.
And I drove in, I pulled in the parking lot about 45 minutes before our program was going to start, and there was no place to park. And when we started, we ended up with 400 and 500 people, some of whom had driven 10 hours that day from Mississippi to be there at that moment, at that time, under those conditions, simply because they permitted them to get this sense of closeness to an event. We all want to touch history. We all want to be close to it. And it amazes me the sorts of things that people see as relevant to that process.
Now, especially during the anniversary, you would always ask in a lot of your programs before you started, you know, where'd you all come from? And I remember the start of the, I think it was the Chancellorsville wilderness programs, and several people told you, you know, they were from California.
California, they came from all over. And then, you know, that particular weekend, the Fredericksburg 150th, you know, all of our stuff was front loaded early on. And I must have had 30 or 40 people come that first weekend with every intention of leaving. And then they stayed the whole week because we did stuff all week long for that anniversary. And it was just a remarkable restorative. If you're in my business, and you know, you think that, okay, well, you know, people aren't as interested in history as they used to be, and they're not. But that was one brief shining moment when it certainly seemed like we had as many people interested in history as we possibly could handle. And generally speaking, you know, most of our programs, they pretty much run at capacity. So we've been very fortunate that way. I suspect, you know, when you do something in the middle of December in Fredericksburg, Virginia, you run a risk of weather, just as the armies did at the time. And so the forecast is for cool temperatures this weekend, but we'll bundle up and we'll be there, and we'll keep moving and have a good time.
A lot of good stuff. We're going to get into all the details of all the stuff that's going on, because a number of programs and some really good ones. All of them good this weekend, both Saturday and Sunday, to mark the 154th anniversary of the Battle of Fredericksburg. We'll continue with John Hennessy when we come back on Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. It's 8:31.
Okay, listen, we got to talk about something.
Talk done right. News Talk 1230 WFVA Fredericksburg, a Centennial Broadcasting Station. You're listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Got an opinion about today's show? Text the studio now at 540-371-5756. Now, here's the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
John Hennessy, the chief historian with the Fredericksburg and Spotsylvania National Military Park, here this morning. We are previewing everything that's going on this weekend with the Battle of Fredericksburg. John, you're involved in a big program Saturday night at St. George's.
St. George's. We're happy to work with St. George's. The congregation there has always been highly conscious of its own history and has just a magnificent building, a magnificent sanctuary, the only church in town that has its original pews, the pews that survived the war.
And you've done things a number of things. It's been a few years since you've done something there.
I've only ever done a couple of programs in the sanctuary of St. George's, but I find it to be in many ways the most compelling of all the spaces. It is a space where silence is as powerful as words. and so, you know, our Voices programs are something that we started doing about 10 years ago. We do them occasionally, mostly for big events, for big topics, where we engage, in this case, St. George's, the congregation. And we use, you know, the words of those who were here. We use images, some narration, occasionally some music, that sort of thing, to tell the story that we're focused on. And this time is a very close focus on the 5 days surrounding the Battle of Fredericksburg and what it meant, not just for soldiers, but also for the community, the people who lived here, the town. And, you know, so at the heart of this are the quotes or the readings or the words those who were here left behind. And one of the great sources that we have for Fredericksburg, not often used or quoted, is the young man who was the rector of St. George's at the time, a man just in his early 20s. His name was Alfred Randolph, pretty fresh out of seminary, just a couple years out of seminary. Big job for someone of his age, one of the biggest congregations in Virginia. But he left us a series of letters. And so I just want to read to you, just gives you a sense of the sorts of things that the Voices program looked at. This is Alfred Randolph writing well after the Battle of Fredericksburg, but describing a walk home through town at night. He was writing to his wife. He said, "I walked home through the ruins in the moonlight, 12 houses in a row in ruins. It was cold and the wind whispered through them, the streets perfectly still and deserted, and the moon clear and full. It gave me a chill. These ruins are already beginning to look historic. Under the moonlight, they are wonderfully significant. The grass is as green as ever, and the cows are grazing in the fairground over the bones of 2,000 Yankees. There was a skull being kicked about the roadside by boys as I passed. Nature has forgotten the carnage." You know, that's something that, you know, I as a historian and a writer can't convey at all with my own words. That is as powerful a description of the impact of war on this town of ours as exists. And so, you know, the Voices programs focus on things like this. Yes, there's sadness. There's also a lot of uplifting stories, stories of struggle and triumph that we'll get into. Joe Hensley, who's the rector today at St. George's, will read his predecessor's words on Saturday night, 7 o'clock in the sanctuary of St. George's. And we'll also have a number of other readers who will join us. So the thing that distinguishes this program from the rest of the weekend is its complexity, number one, a lot of pieces and parts. There's no walking, and it'll be warm too, because this is the only program that we're doing this weekend that will be inside. But that's at 7 o'clock at St. George's at 905 Princess Anne Street, and lasts about an hour or so, maybe just a shade over an hour. And then, you know, if you're going to go to the HFFI gala or whatever else you've got going on that night, you'll have plenty of time to get there. So, you know, this particular program, the Voices program, in the past have been very successful. We've had several with literally hundreds of people. Mm-hmm. Our first one, we had almost 700 people in attendance. And so they've proven to be a very powerful, very popular way of getting at these stories and telling these stories.
And this is a little bit different than the others are site-specific to where you're at. This really is kind of an overview of what happened.
Well, it's the story of people. Mm-hmm. And
their words.
It's story of people not constrained by any particular place or site or location. So we're able to kind of range a little bit more broadly, you know, what these events meant to various people, how it transformed them. Walt Whitman, for example, was entirely transformed by coming to Fredericksburg, coming to Chatham specifically, and witnessing what he saw there. He had up to that time been a reporter for the Brooklyn Daily News, and after that he simply decided he needed to work. He needed to work in the hospitals, and he would spend the rest of the war working in the hospitals in Washington, D.C. And so that those sorts of things are part of the story. How this battle reverberated across the landscape to towns all across North America, North and South, all suffered the anger, the bitterness. You know, Fredericksburg was the first and pretty much the only American town looted by an American army during the Civil War. And that left a big impression and embittered Southerners, and rightly so. I think we can all understand that. How did the looting and bombardment, how did the looting happen? Why did it happen? Because nothing like that ever happened again in Virginia. Nothing like that had happened before. Why here? Why Fredericksburg? What led to this horrific day, this sequence of events that left such a deep imprint on this town? I can't remember what it was, but I wrote something on my Facebook page or somewhere last week about the looting and bombardment, and at least a couple of the comments reflected that bitterness that that anger still that the Union Army did what they did in Fredericksburg. And it is a hard reality that this sort of thing happened. And you know why, how extensive was it, who was affected? We'll tell all those stories from both perspectives, from the soldiers who did the looting, from the civilians whose homes suffered the looting and the tremendous damage.
One of the things that always, to me, still gets me is if you just go and you all have you go to a lot of your programs have just always produced some really interesting photographs from that were taken. But just to go and sit and just page through, and especially the Virginia section of like just Matthew Brady's war photographs, they're just chilling at times to just see the. We are talking about weather conditions, or just the brutality of what he photographed.
The Voices program has a constant backdrop of imagery, all of it from Fredericksburg, no generic stuff, sketches, paintings, the photography that you mentioned, and it is powerful, immediate. There are very few places in America that are more thoroughly covered visually during the war than Fredericksburg. In fact, much of what we know about Fredericksburg prior to 1865 is because the lens of the world was here. And so many photographs were taken. There were so many war artists, sketch artists who came here and did images. And so those images are a huge part of the Voices program. And will be a constant accompaniment. And, you know, one of the things, and we've talked about this before, is these images now, which in the digital age are now really available to everybody, and often in very high resolution, you know, we're seeing things in these images that we never saw before, little details. And that's been very interesting, very kind of fun, actually, to kind of delve into these things. And what is in the background? Mm-hmm. And there's a whole, you know, there's the obvious intent of the image, and then you go into the background, and there is all this hidden stuff that you never would have noticed before. So we'll actually highlight some of that stuff as well. It's by no means the image. It's not a slide program. The images simply accompany the story. But some pretty vivid stuff for sure, as you said.
Now, Mysteries and Conundrums, the blog that the historians that you all have is fascinating for that, because you'll pull out a picture and say, just to the left of that bush.
That's right. Look at that.
What is that?
Right. Or, and, you know, just little details like, you know, the signs of businesses on buildings, you see this panorama of town and it's distant and it's kind of quaint and it looks peaceful. And then you zoom in and you can see that, you know, this is a place of life. It's not just a set piece. And so we've had fun on Mysteries and Conundrums. In fact, in my mail this morning, literally as I walked in my office before I came over here, was someone sending me a photograph of the Fredericksburg area that I'd never seen before, taken during the war. So it still happens that we get new stuff in, and we always learn from it. And the best part, though, is that it's a way for people to engage in the story as well, and gives us another hook to engage people in the stories we're telling.
The weekend, like we mentioned, the program at St. George's, 7 to 8 Saturday night. Everything begins the walking tours Saturday morning. You mentioned earlier with Frank O'Reilly at Prospect Hill. Then there'll be the Bloody Plain, and you've done that, and that's a fantastic tour, just because it mentioned, like you say, that all those houses weren't there, and it gives you a whole different view that you'll walk the trail, but with the vision that there are no houses here, and you're going straight to Maurice Heights.
Yeah, we start at Hurricane Park, and Frank O'Reilly is doing that one as well. And it goes through what is today's streets, but looks for those kind of forgotten places, those little hints of the landscape that was. And, you know, it's funny. I've done that program several times. And, you know, when we're doing these programs, it's more vivid for us than it is for anybody in the audience. I mean, our mind's eye, and we don't see those buildings, you know, when we're out doing them. And our goal is to to help you not see those buildings and to understand this landscape. And I have found that even a walk through the neighborhood in front of the sunken road, you know, from Hurricane Park up the sunken road, you know, there's little dips in the ground that have significance. There's a little stone wall that has significance, all sorts of stuff. I think people find that very powerful, not to mention interesting, curious, that there are all these little things in this little neighborhood that bespeak of this story. And but the most powerful part of that story are the words of those who are here. And so Frank will do that, and then that program will be followed immediately by kind of the Confederate look, the soldiers of the road, which Becky Oakes will do in the sunken road, and that'll close out the first day. And then, you know, on Sunday, there's really a kind of a signature component of that, not just our culminating event at the sunken road at 2 o'clock, but Frank O'Reilly's traditional walk through town following the footsteps of the Irish Brigade. And I think that there are only a handful of things on Civil War battlefields that have, in terms of what the Park Service does, that have become legendary. But Frank's walk through town
is
legendary. And there are people who do it every single year. If you've never done it, you should. And it ends at the Kirkland Memorial at 2 o'clock and leads right into the 30 or so minute ceremony that will culminate the weekend.
The National Park Service this weekend, the local National Park Service, remembering the Battle of Fredericksburg. Chief Historian John Hennessy with the Fredericksburg and Spotsylvania National Military Park is here. We'll wrap it up when we come back on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
Welcome back to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. You can weigh in on today's Town Talk topic on Facebook at WFVA 1230. Now, your host, Ted Schubel.
John Hennessy here, the Chief Historian with the Fredericksburg and Spotsylvania National Military Park. Before we get out of here, John, with everything that we see, a lot of people have become historians in recent months, watching the election and talking about the country's never been like this. And I just think of politicians like Andrew Jackson, or you look back at what caused the Civil War. There's nothing new under the sun, I think, when I talk to people like you who right. study this kind of thing.
I think there probably are some new things under the sun that we haven't seen before. You know, America's always been a noisy place. Mm-hmm. America's always seemed dysfunctional. Every generation presumes that the generation that's following them, their children, are going to be the architects of a hopeless land. It's been so forever. But we always find a way to figure it out. You know, we went through, the tumult that attended Jackson's presidency. But we also, you know, we talk about, you know, today being as kind of, some people suggest it's as divided as the country's ever been. Well, that is demonstrably untrue, because the nation literally and literally divided and fought a war in 1861 for 4 years. I certainly don't dismiss it. I think it's certainly for our lifetimes, we've never experienced a period of political discourse from both sides like this. But it is not unprecedented in our history, this sense of division. And one of the things that I've learned is that every moment in history when confronted by the participants is seen as existential. We like to, even when it's not, it's often seen as existential. And, that was true with the first battle of the Civil War, where everybody believed the nation would turn on that.
Mm-hmm.
There's been all sorts of points in our history that at the moment seemed as if they would either transform or perhaps even end the world as we've known it. And to some people, this seems like an existential period as well. But, you know, history tells us to be patient. History tells us to be calm, History tells us to speak our minds and to work in the vision that suits us all best, and that we as a nation have a way of figuring all that stuff out. And I am 100% confident that the people who today are feeling discomfort, America will find a path of comfort for everybody. It might not be easy. It might be noisy. We've taken steps back and sideways before. We've stumbled as a nation before. But we've always kind of found a path forward. And so no matter what your political perspective is, we will find a path forward here as well. And government adapts, society adapts, and somewhere in the middle we find the path.
It is the 150th anniversary, the 154th anniversary of the Battle of Fredericksburg this weekend. As we've said, all kinds of activities. You're involved in one of the bigger ones, the only inside one, Saturday night.
The only inside
night.
One. That's all I can do to promote the Voices program or program I'm doing above the others is that one will be warm.
7 to 8.
But the others are all worth doing if
they
you
are.
Can.
They are. 7 to 8 Saturday night is where you'll be at St. George's. You're also doing a Sunday morning one at 10 a.m., the bombardment and looting of Fredericksburg. Frank O'Reilly's dealing with Prospect Hill, Becky Oaks along the sunken road, right. And everything in between. It's going to be a great week. The weather looks like it'll be cold, but like you say, yes. That's December in Fredericksburg.
Right. It's supposed to be nice. No precipitation. Yeah. Just a little chill.
Well, thank you, John. Good to have you back in the guest chair this morning and the rumors.
Good to be here, Ted. And I'll be happy to come back and console you over the fate of your beloved Red Wings anytime you want.
We will do that soon. John Hennessy, thank you very much.
You.
That's it for Town Talk. See you tomorrow.
Thanks for listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. The views expressed by the host and guests on this program are their own and not necessarily those of this station, its management, or Centennial Broadcasting. The Glenn Beck program is next on News Talk 1230 WFVA.